This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Let the words of our minds and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. How many of you saw the movie Mr. Holland's Opus? Mr. Holland's Opus, Richard Dreyfuss, several years ago. If you didn't see it, it's perfect to rent for Netflix. I think Richard Dreyfuss won the Academy Award for Best Actor in this movie. And it tells the story of Glenn Holland and takes his life from 1965 to 1995. And he was a gifted musician and conductor and composer, and as consequences happened, he found himself in a high school teaching music, and he never thought the job would last. Never in his wildest dreams did he think that that's what he would be doing. And as it turned out, he became a gifted teacher with deep insight, especially into the lives of his students. And he taught them music. And just like today that we are honoring our great choir and Mr. French, our wonderful organist, as we do every Ascension Day in this place, music was what held those kids together. It's what transformed their lives. And we follow his life and the life of his wife Iris and their deaf son Cole through the ups and downs of their marriage and dealing with his deafness and the trouble that finally takes us to the end of the movie. And the school board, in their not-so-infinite wisdom, decided to cut the arts from the program because of budget. And that is happening still today in many, many places, which just is amazing that that still happens. But this program had been cut, and so Mr. Holland was faced with no longer having a job at the age of 60. Now, from the time, for 30 years, when he began his career, he had been writing a symphony piece, an opus, and he never got to conduct it. He never got to perform it. And the day that he was leaving school, he went back to get his belongings, and they were walking through the halls, he and his wife and his son, and he was really depressed. He thought he heard something coming from the auditorium, and he said, "What is it? What is it?" And his wife says, "I don't know. I don't know." Well, she did know, because they had been conceiving this idea of a surprise for Mr. Holland, and the auditorium was filled with his students, present and past, and students that had struggled and been transformed by his touch, been transformed by his teaching, and been transformed by music. And as he opened the door, "What's going on in here?" they all stood up and cheered for him, and he was overwhelmed. They walked down to the front, and then in from the back walks a former student who was then the governor of the state and came in. I guess she had no power in the county politics of cutting arts. Took the platform and began to give him such accolades and talked so deeply about his life and how he had transformed them, and that now his teaching and the music would be carried on without him because it was his inspiration and his spirit that lived in and through them. And the ultimate part of the end of the movie was that then she said, "And as a surprise, we've had the music for your opus, and we've been practicing, and we would like to invite you to conduct it." And he's just beside himself and goes up, and the curtains part, and all these musicians are up there, ready to perform. And he takes the baton, and he leads them in Mr. Holland's opus. Her message to him was that they were his opus in everyday life. We've all had these experiences of a great teacher or a great mentor, maybe a parent who who's no longer with us. Maybe we've moved to a new location and we don't have our support group anymore. And we're left wondering how we're going to continue without that great leader, without those friends, without that person in our lives anymore. Multiply that times a gazillion, and you have what happened on Ascension Day. Jesus had meant everything to them. They watched him minister and heal and give prophecy, and just astounded were they by his life. And then watched him crucified, watched him rise from the dead, and then watched him appear again and again and again to thousands of people, truly risen from the dead. And then as he was blessing them, the scripture says, he was gone. And they had to carry on. He had told them about this again and again and again, but they just didn't get it. And just two chapters before the one we heard tonight in the gospel, in chapter 17, in chapter 15, he had said about leaving, he said, "It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Advocate," meaning the Holy Spirit, "will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. But if I go, you then will be guided into all truth." He had to make space so that then they would become the mission. So that they would become the mission. I read this great line this week in preparation, and it's not that the church has a mission. It's that the church is the mission. It's not that we just do these little things we're supposed to do for the good of other people. We are the mission. In every moment of our lives, if we're really living out this commission that Jesus gave on this day. And if you reread the gospel and you reread Acts, which are one story, by the way, right? Luke and Acts were written by the same author, and what the gospel, where it ended today, was the end of the gospel of Luke. And then it picks right up again in Acts, chapter 1, verse 1. They really should be read in reverse. And it's about all the people then who gathered and prayed and prayed. And right after the Acts reading tonight, it says who gathered to pray. And it was the 11 disciples and others and women and the brothers of Jesus. And they were gathered and praying and praying. And they were told to wait in the city until the coming of the Holy Spirit. So, what I would like to challenge us all with this particular day and this season between now and Pentecost, we are entering into what the Roman Catholic Church and our church as well calls a novena. It's 9 days. This is how the beginning of that word and that concept happened, because of the direction by Jesus to stay in this city and for them to pray. There's 9 days between now and Pentecost. So a novena, which at the root means nine, is a day of praying, and there's four different types, but the one that I'm suggesting is called a novena of preparation, so that we are preparing, once again, like we do in Lent, we're preparing for the coming of the Holy Spirit anew in our lives. So I would ask you to ask yourselves, what new thing is God asking you to do in your life? What new thing is God doing in and through the Holy Spirit? And to take the time each of these 9 days and ask and wait and listen. And it'll be different for each of us. It might be more time with family. It might be more time in silence. It might be taking on some new thing at St. Joseph's Church. It might be letting some ministry that you've been doing for years and years and years be handed to someone else. You will know as you pray. And it may be that that depth of understanding will bring you then that peace that passes understanding in the knowledge and love of God, and in our beautiful Trinity, and the way it works, and God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, that is present before, now, and in the future, always, and singing a song. In the New Zealand prayer book, there's a little, I would say, a poem, and it goes like this. He came singing love, and he lived singing love. He died singing love. He arose in silence. For the love to go on, we must make it our song. You and I be the singers. Amen.